Hello and welcome to Independence. It's the FIC podcast for church leaders and for others too, if you're listening. It's great that you can join us for this little mini edition of Independence, the FIC podcast. I'm here today with Martin Dixon from Wycliffe Bible Translators. Hello, Martin. How are you doing?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You've got a nice accent there. Tell us where you're from.
From Merseyside. People pick
great.
Up straight away.
Yeah, great. Well, you're very welcome into Market Harbour at FIC Towers. We're here to talk about Bible translation and actually to talk about a very specific project, aren't we, that we're planning for the Leaders Conference and for Rising Lights.
Yeah.
Let's just say what we're going to do, first of all. That's all right. And then you can tell us a bit more about the project we've decided to support.
Great.
So Leaders Conference is coming up. Maybe you're coming to join us. If you haven't yet booked in, there's just about time to book in Leaders Conference. We'd love to see you there. And we're looking forward to Rising Lights, which is our Easter event. And we decided we wanted a project that we could give to. This year's theme is on mission. And so we thought immediately about Bible translation. Now, you're working for Wycliffe. If people don't know what Wycliffe is, tell us who the Wycliffe Bible translators are. I mean, the clue's in the title, right?
But Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're Bible people. We're Bible translators. We support Bible translation all over the world. For one in five people globally, the word of God is trapped in a language they can't understand.
Still one in five.
That's
an incredible stat, isn't it, Martin? Because I think we sort of somehow assume the work is done.
Absolutely, yeah. People think, oh, wasn't that done a long time ago? And it definitely isn't. It's 1.5 billion people still waiting to hear God's word in their own language.
How extraordinary. And I have in my hand, now if you're listening, you can't see this, doesn't really work, but I have in my hand a wonderful thing.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Which is the latest completed project. Just tell me about this very briefly, Martin.
So for those who can't see, it's a bright pink Bible.
We'll say why that is in just a moment, but tell us this. I can't read it, obviously, but tell us what language it is.
So it's the Coma Bible from Ghana.
Right.
Okay. And recently translated. And the beauty of it is when you see the translated Bible, when people get it for the first time, they handle it with such joy and such reverence. It's a real challenge because it just shows me how much I take God's word for granted.
And when you just gave me this as you came into the building, which was very kind, and my heart skipped a beat.
Yeah.
Because you think, actually, here is a Bible in a language that it wasn't available until now, and here it is, a completed Bible, the Word of God, living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yeah.
And here it is in a language it wasn't available before.
Absolutely.
And it's not like picking up a new translation in English. There's something, it's not magical, but there is something supernatural, actually, about this. It's the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit has helped translators do the work of producing it.
Now, it is incredible.
It's in bright... I mean, you do need to see the podcast. It's in bright pink. Why on earth is it in bright pink?
Well, there's two schools of thought in this. One is because they absolutely love the colour.
Okay. I mean, it is bright.
The real truth is because it looks nothing like a Quran, and that was really important to them.
So that's fascinating, isn't it? So there's a lot more behind Bible translation than just the science of actual translation. There's a whole stuff about how it's printed, how it's presented, how it's used, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, it's a fascinating thing. Some of the challenges of it are just really very interesting. So there's languages where words that we would use every day to convey spiritual truth, there's no word for those things. When Jesus beckons the children to come and sit with him, when the disciples are complaining about the noise, you know that story. So Jesus puts a child on his knee. What about languages where there's no word for child? There's only languages for boy or girl.
Right, okay.
How would you translate it?
Yeah, interesting.
Well, that's got a huge cultural relevance. And so it's those sorts of fascinating challenges.
Okay. We're going to record another podcast about Bible translation. It's such an important topic. We'll make it available for the Leaders Conference. But we're here to talk about one particular thing.
Yeah.
So we thought to ourselves, we normally have a collection at the Leaders Conference. We often do that for our bursary fund. And we thought this year, because the theme is mission, it would be remiss of us, really. It would be a poor thing for us not to think outward. So when we do a collection for the bursary fund, we're essentially thinking in. We'll be thinking, how can we help people to come to the Leaders Conference who can't afford it? But this year, we're thinking, actually, we need to be thinking outward. If we can't do that in the year that we're thinking about mission, we can never do it. And so we started talking with you guys at Wycliffe because actually we thought Bible translation, that's the way to go. There are lots of different mission agencies all doing a great job. We really value them. Lots of them will be at the Leaders Conference and involved in the Leaders Conference in different ways. But we thought, is there something that we as leaders at the FIC leaders' conference can get behind? And the answer is Bible translation. We're men and women of the word. Mm. We love the word. We want to proclaim the word. Mm. We want to put it into people's hands. Yeah. We're Protestants. We don't want to keep it from them. Mm-hmm. We want to put it into people's hands. And we really value all the work Wycliffe has done. And actually, we benefit from some of that, because lots of us are in churches where lots of languages are spoken. And actually, even now on a Sunday morning, we look out at a church, we'll see that there are English Bibles open. Actually, perhaps Bibles open in other languages too. Mm. And so it's shocking that one in five people don't have access.
It's not right.
And actually, what can we do? We can give. Now, we realize leaders don't have huge disposable incomes. None of us do. But we want leaders to think about giving to this. We want churches to think about perhaps whether it's appropriate for a one-off gift. And we're not trying to break into your mission strategy as a church, just saying, here's something you could support as a one-off gift. And then we're going to roll that into Rising Lights, our Easter event. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we've identified a particular project, haven't we, Martin? Now, we're just going to be just a word of caution here. We're being very careful how we speak about it. I think that's right, isn't it? If you come to the leaders' conference, we will tell you where it is, and we will show you a video, and there'll be some more information.
Yeah.
But things that are public, we can't speak about this project publicly. Yeah. So we're going to use a made-up name for the country.
Yeah.
But we're going to give you some facts and figures. We're going to say a little bit more about what the project is so you can think about it. And then when you come to the leaders' conference, it's not quite there'll be a big reveal, but when it's something that's not public, we can speak a bit more frankly and openly about it. So tell us the project we've selected.
So the name we've used is Waldor. It's the Waldor project. It's in Africa.
Okay.
That's as close as I can pinpoint it for you today.
That's fine.
And there was a project where groups of translators and church planters are working on 11 new language translations.
11 languages.
So it's a base language and then 11 kind of languages.
So if you get the base language right, that then has benefit for all. How does that work? It has benefit for all these other languages.
That's right.
Well.
Yeah. So there's a root language.
Right.
And then kind of once you've got that in place, you're able to kind of tweak it slightly. So,
and not a full Bible in that language at the moment.
No. So with those 11 languages in place, if there's a full Bible with those 11 languages in place, 850,000 new people groups will be able to hear. People will be able to read the Bible.
That's an extraordinary statistic. So there are 850,000. Well, we talked about one in five, but here is an identifiable group of 850,000 people who don't have the full scriptures in their own language.
Yes.
But we can make a contribution to that. We can help with that. And your guys are doing work in that area.
I actually believe you can get it over the line.
Okay, tell us a little bit about what you mean by getting it over the line.
So, obviously, there are costs involved in Bible translation.
Of course.
The project needs £143,000 to complete the work.
Right.
Now, we've got a match funder available, potentially, likely, who wants to fund it. So, if we can find half of £140,000, we can get this completed. And that's the beauty of Bible translation, because you can see the end in sight for some of these projects.
Yeah.
There is a finish line, and it ends up with somebody having a Bible in their hands that they are able
just
to celebrate.
Just like I've got this Coma Bible in my hand.
Yeah.
Isn't that a great thing? So let's just be clear what we're asking people to do. We're going to have a giving project like we normally do at the leaders' conference, but we're going to give the money to this project to hopefully make a significant contribution towards its completion. Mm. We're going to leave that giving appeal open through to Easter 2026. And there's two reasons for that. One is you might like to think about whether your church would like to give a one-off gift to this. So we realize that you're a leader, you come to the leaders' conference, perhaps, and these are not decisions you can make on your own. You'd need to talk to other leaders in the church, you need to talk to a treasurer, maybe you need to have a church meeting. And that's fine. You know, you may decide we've already committed or we've got commitments in other areas with other groups. That's absolutely fine. But you may think, here's something we could give a one-off sum to 850,000 people to have the word of God in their own hands. So we're going to leave it open for that reason after the leaders' conference. But we're also going to leave it open because we're going to make this part of our appeal at Rising Lights, our Easter event. Now, obviously, Rising Lights is not just church leaders. It's people from all kinds of churches, not just FIUC churches, but all kinds of churches coming together. And a bit like Word Alive used to do, we wanted to have a giving project. And again, this feels like a really good giving project to get behind in year one of Rising Lights. Mm-hmm. Here's something where we could, I don't know how ambitious I should sound, we can either get a long way or we could even get this over the line. What an amazing thing that would be to do, to have the word of God available in a different language.
Absolutely, yeah. The beauty of it as well is over the line actually means church planting, it means evangelism. If you think of all of the ways that we want
to plant... Just explain that a bit more, because we're thinking, you know, Bible translation, Bible in people's hands. Why? Tell us why it has a knock-on effect.
There are lots of people in the UK who've got a Bible in their own language.
Yeah.
And it never gets read.
Right. Okay. So it's not just having the Bible in your own language.
It's about the translation, but then also the using the Bible. And what it's being used for. If you imagine church planting, imagine trying to plant a church without the Bible. Imagine trying to disciple people without the Bible. Imagine evangelism without the Bible.
Which is what they're trying to do in this place, but it's hard work.
Oh, it's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
So this isn't just that folks can engage with the Word of God, which is of course primary. It's that then that Word of God starts to release new opportunities for mission, for evangelism, for church planting, and you see culture change happen as well as a result of having Bible. So unlock the Word of God, it unlocks a whole load of other things as well.
That's a great thing to hear, Martin. Thank you so much. So we're talking about a Bible translation project, but so much more.
Yes.
We're talking about church planting. We're talking about evangelism. We're talking about serving communities.
Yeah.
We're talking about serving kids and reaching kids, all those things and so much more. Yeah, that's really thrilling. So here's the deal. If you're coming along to the Leaders Conference, we're really looking forward to seeing you. Wycliffe will have a stand there. Go and say hello on the Wycliffe stand. They'd love to talk to you about Bible translation and all that needs to be done. And maybe your church actually is already supporting Wycliffe, in which case go and say hello anyway. They'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
But as we gather on the Tuesday evening at the Leaders Conference, which is our normal time for prayer, we're going to think about the persecuted church. This is an area where it's hard to be a Christian. Mm. It's hard to be a Christian in this area. So there's a nice tie-in. And we'd love to support a giving project. So why don't you think personally as a leader, what could I give? And maybe it is just the widow's mite, but actually every little bit counts and every little bit will help us to get towards that target. And yes, open up church planting, evangelism, personal discipleship, one-to-one work, all those sorts of things in an area where at the moment they don't have the scriptures. And wouldn't it be great to be sitting here in a year's time and I'm sitting here with a different Bible, not the Como Bible from Ghana, but a Bible that will serve these people in Waldorf. That would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it?
It's hugely exciting, isn't it, when you think
about
it?
It is exciting, to be part of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to be part of that. You occasionally go to these sort of various venues, don't you? You know, you go to a football stadium or you go to a concert hall and you see people's names on the wall or, you know, on the back of a seat. And we're not into that kind of thing as Christians. But just knowing actually that we are contributing to something beyond us and outside of us is special.
It is. And the beauty of it is once it's done, it's done.
Yeah.
So if you feed somebody, they're going to need feeding again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Once they've got that Bible, they've got that Bible forever. Now, it'll need tweaking. Of course, we're not still reading the Bible that we had 300 years ago.
Yeah.
But once it's in place, there's a legacy of this as well over many years. We're not just supporting people there now. It's a historical moment every time one of these gets over the line.
Great. Why don't you come and join us at the Leaders Conference and be part of that legacy? That would be really exciting. So if you are coming to the Leaders Conference, we look forward to seeing you. If you're not coming to the Leaders Conference, but you're thinking, I'm excited about this, something that I would love to give to, even if it's just a small amount, after the Leaders Conference, we'll make it clear how you can do that. So thanks just for listening into this short little edition of Independence. And if you're coming along in Blackpool, we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks very much, Martin.
Thank you.